Open your Bibles with me to Proverbs 19. Tonight we'll do a topical study on a subject of which I have never heard a sermon or read a sermon. And yet, it deals with a very common ailment and one that the Bible addresses several times. Tonight we'll be looking at the subject, the causes and cure of laziness. And the first verse we look at, just sort of to open the study, is Proverbs 19, verse 15. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. When you think of the word laziness, certain famous characters may come to your mind. If you read the comic strips, you may think of Snuffy Smith or Sluggo. If you can remember long enough back for radio or television, you may remember a character named the Kingfish, who never liked to do any work. Also on television, Fred Sanford. So these are characters known for their laziness. There used to be a proverb that said someone is as lazy as Ludlum's dog. What's Ludlum's dog? A man named Ludlum had a dog that was so lazy and good for nothing, in order to bark at an intruder, he had to lean against a wall. He had no get up and go. Now, the word laziness, I believe, only occurs this one time in Scripture, but the concept and the adjective are found elsewhere, so we're going to look at them. First, let's give some of the definitions for laziness. I got out my dictionary and found some of the synonyms. Idleness, indolence, slothfulness, inactivity, stagnation. And then for the word lazy, idle, shiftless, slothful, inactive, negligent, sluggish, lackadaisical, lethargic, unindustrious, and just plain unwilling to work. Well, what do we mean by lazy? It means a disinclination to work, or anything that that means dawdling, dragging your feet, you get up and go, got up and went. A son once asked his father to help him fix something. And so the father, laying on the couch, said, "Son, I'd like to, but I have a severe case of voluntary inertia." The son said, "Oh, I bet you're just lazy, Pop." Well, we come up with all sorts of explanations rather than calling it what it is. We all get sometimes just plain lazy. Not because we're too tired, we just get lazy. Now, let me give you some of the synonyms for to be lazy as a verb. To loaf, to dilly-dally, waste away time, dawdle, laze about, lounge around, do nothing, lollygag, loiter, fritter, while away the time, or goof off. And so there's a long list of these. When I lived over in Scotland, they had a term over there, and they'd have to say it with a certain lilt. They'd say, "Oh, laddie, he's skiving off." To skive off means to goof off, means to do nothing. That kind of person has low octane energy and drive. His engine's stuck in neutral, and he's wasting gas, going nowhere, burning up all his energy, doing nothing. You may know sloth is one of the Roman Catholic seven deadly sins. Pride, avarice, lust, envy, gluttony, anger, and sloth. And it's always listed last because it seems to be the last one to get anywhere, except when there's a free meal. It's always the first one there. What do we call a person that's known for his laziness? The Bible also often calls him the sluggard. And not the slugger like in baseball, but the sluggard. He's sluggish. We would call him a slouch, a good-for-nothing, a loafer, Mr. Lazy Bones, or just an old-fashioned gold brick. Just too lazy to do anything. That sort of person is characterized by a phobia. You know, psychologists say everybody has a phobia of at least one thing. This man's phobia is a four-letter word, W-O-R-K. He just hates it. He just will not work. And even when they have to work, this sort of person always manages to find a way to do just the bare minimum. I thought of an old proverb a few weeks ago when we were unloading that truck full of books. There's no proverb that says, too many people are ready to carry the stool when there's a piano to be moved. So someone always wants to do the least amount. I don't know if I'm Gene German. Does that sound like you, the piano mover? You probably move the piano and let Kathy move the stool. Whatever. But some people want to do the lightest possible. Well, we can all think of people that we know whose picture should be inserted into a dictionary. I like those dictionaries where they always give you a picture next to the word. If you were to think of lazy, whose picture would you say, "Oh, gosh, I'd be right there next to that word. there. Some people seem to have as their chief personality trait, lazy. And people always say, oh yeah, he's lazy. They're never going to give him a good job recommendation. He's just too lazy. But it's a disease that infects all of us at one time or another in one way or another. And it's easy for us to recognize it in other people, but in ourselves is more painful than pulling teeth. Now, you remember last week we talked about self-examination? This morning we're going to look at some appropriate Bible verses and see how much laziness there is in us in various ways. So let's look and see what the Bible says. Most of the verses we're going to find are in the book of Proverbs. First one, look back at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. Starts off in verse 6 with a little line I learned when I was in third grade going to a Baptist school. Go to the ant, you sluggard. I remember hearing that when I was a little boy thinking, the Bible talks about ants. That's interesting. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which, having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. By the way, this little proverb here is probably the source of Aesop's fable. You've heard that fable about the grasshopper and the ant, and the ant is working all summer storing up goods in the storehouse, and the grasshopper's out there dancing, and when I learned it as a little boy, it's the grasshopper playing a fiddle and dancing around. Well, it is an Aesop's fable, and actually there have been some other proofs and studies showing that Aesop probably got some of his fables from the Bible. He was Greek, but there were some Jews that moved over to Greece, and there's some very interesting parallels, and so that's probably where he got it. Well, we find here about the ants storing up her supplies in summer and gathering them because the winter is coming. But then it contrasts this with the sluggard. Sluggard, you ought to be like that little ant out there. God put it into the creatures of the earth. Why don't you be like them? The first characteristic of the sluggard we find in these verses is this. Laziness has no foresight. It doesn't see the consequences. It's only interested in the here and now, the pleasures for right now. It doesn't plan ahead. Secondly, it's kind of similar to this, the lazy person has no sense of time. It's very important. Laziness is not limited to young or old or to one season. It doesn't seem to think like that. It has no balance on time, no perspective. And thirdly, we see in these verses, as other ones we'll look at, laziness leads to poverty. If a person doesn't work like the ant, when the hard time comes along, you'll have to go without and you'll go poor. And you'll even lose even what you already have. One medieval rabbi noted, poverty due to laziness is incurable. And some people, of course, are poor not because they're lazy, because of other things, a handicap, financial ruin, robbery, or something like that. Not all poor people are lazy. Many of them are victims of tragedy, for example, and they just can't find their way up the economic ladder. On the other hand, it's also true that there are many people at the bottom of the economic ladder simply because of laziness. They don't care to go any higher up, even though they have opportunities. They're there because they choose to be. Just like the man that does not imitate the ant here, he has no foresight. And it says, verse 11, so shall poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. Next verse, Proverbs 10. Chapter 10, verse 26. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a lazy man to those who send him. Now that's an interesting one. That kind of gets your attention. Vinegar to the teeth. Have you ever eaten something very vinegary and it just makes your teeth grit? Give me something to wash that out. Irritating. Smoke to the eyes. Nobody wants to get smoke in your eyes. It makes the tears flow. It's irritating. But so is the lazy man to those who send him. In other words, here's a boss man, and he sends a person working for him. Go do an errand for me. Go do this. And the man doesn't do it properly. So it's irritating to the man under whose authority he is. This teaches us that laziness is irritating to other people, especially others that work hard. It talks about those who send him. That's the employer. It could also apply to parents. The parents that send their children on an errand. Go do this. Go do your chores. And if they don't, it's irritating to those others. So is a lazy man to those who sent him. Next, chapter 13. Old Solomon knew what he was talking about. And by the way, there's some other verses we could point out. Chapter 12, verse 24, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. He'll have to become a slave to work off his debts. Verse 27, the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possessions, and so forth. Proverbs 13:4 is the one I'll call your attention now. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Now that builds on these other two verses that I mentioned, contrasting the diligent person, the one that is not lazy. He works hard and he thinks about the future and he strives. He's like that ant. And the lazy man is the exact opposite. But yet it says the soul of the lazy man desires but has nothing. He wants something. He's covetous, but he doesn't go out and get it. He expects people to bring it to him or maybe to find it. Maybe he heard a story once about someone that found a $50 bill on the pavement. And so he says, well, why work when you can find it? But he is covetous. He wants some things, but he'll have nothing. And so he'll be forced to do without. And so that's like the law of returns there. And so there's a contrast. The diligent man will earn something, and the lazy man earns nothing, and he has to do without. Next, we'll go to the verse from which we started, Proverbs 19:15. We're looking at these verses in order. The Proverbs sometimes draw a contrast. Sometimes they talk about parallels or lessons from nature. Chapter 19, verse 15. Laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Laziness is like sleep, and often the proverb says, don't love sleep. Don't sleep too much. Don't sleep away your life. Sleep is necessary, of course, but people need different amounts of sleep. Mrs. Margaret Thatcher, the former Prime Minister of Great Britain, got by on 4 hours of sleep a night for most of her life thus far, 4 hours. My father usually would get by with between 5 and 6. My mother, on the other hand, because of her, I guess, her metabolism, she requires closer to 10 or 11, almost twice as much as my dad. But that's one thing to say how much you need, but what the Proverbs is doing is warning about those that sleep beyond what they need. Laziness is like sleeping. Laziness is the unusual state of being asleep while you're wide awake. You're resting when you're supposed to be working. It's kind of like sleep. Look also just in the very next chapter at verse 13. Do not love sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes and you will be satisfied with bread. So don't love it unless you become poor. Poor. Poor Richard's Almanac, Ben Franklin said, up, sluggard, and waste not life. In the grave will be sleeping enough. Now, that's probably the origin of that old proverb. There'll be rest enough in the grave. Well, poor Richard said there'll be sleeping enough in the grave. So don't sleep and just waste your time. Now, I was talking with someone once, and we were kind of saying, well, what do you do for a hobby? And I asked him, what do you like to do? And he grinned and said, guess. And I said, well, some kind of a sport. No, I don't like any sports. You collect something? No. Favorite television show? No. A place you like to go and visit, do something. No. And I said, well, I give up. He says, keep guessing. I've got an interesting hobby, something I really like to do. And, boy, I do it on weekends and just spend hours doing this. I give up. Finally, he says, I like to sleep. I said, what? He says, I love to sleep. And he went to describe, he says, I work all week and I sleep all day Saturday and all day Sunday. And he says, I like to sleep. I just like to crawl in bed and grab the pillow and out I am. And I said, well, I can understand if you need to sleep. But he says, oh, I like this. I love sleep. I felt like quoting the verse, love not sleep lest you come to poverty. But he loved it. As I said, sleep is important, but too little sleep can be harmful to your health or sleeping in the wrong way. If you can't handle change of schedules, but the same is true with too much sleep. And the Bible says that can be a characteristic of laziness. Okay, 19, verse 24 is something else. A lazy man buries his hand in the bowl and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Now, that's another strange verse, and it indicates a strange characteristic of Mr. Lazybones. It says this. That the lazy man, he buries his hand in the bowl. Now, the bowl here is a bowl of food. and he has it right there in front of him. All he has to do is put in the spoon and bring it up to his mouth, but he's too lazy to do even that. He's got it right there. And he's like, oh, me, would someone please feed me? He's too lazy, like Ludlum's dog. And so this tells us something about him. He doesn't take full advantage of what he already has right in front of him. When an opportunity knocks on the door, Mr. Lazybone rolls over and goes back to sleep and says, not at home. It's right there. He doesn't want to take advantage of it. And so he won't so much as bring it up to his mouth again. Next, chapter 21. We got two verses here on laziness. Proverbs 21, verses 25 and 26. The desire of the lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. He covets greedily all day long, but the righteous gives and does not spare. Now notice the key phrase here is that his hands refuse to work. He just does not want to work. There's an opportunity. It's not that he's unable to work. He's able to work. We're not talking about the handicapped. This is talking about a man that is able but refuses to work. He just does not want to. He shirks it. He's unwilling, not unable. And Don Broden and I were talking about this just a little bit this afternoon, and we noted that we've known people that are actually handicapped. They can't walk or they're deaf or something. The people like that, I usually know, want to work. They want to do something with their hands. They say, I don't have legs, but give me something with my hands. I can't see, but I can still listen and type or something. Those sort of people are to be commended. In fact, when I think of them, and then I think of the people that are able to work, that are too lazy to work, I lose my patience with these others. And I say, you know, you're able to work, but you don't want to. And here are people that are unable to, but want to. In the neighborhood I used to live in Dallas, there was a certain 7-Eleven quick stop I used to go to, and there was always lazy bones hanging around, kind of asking for a free handout. Sometimes you didn't know if they're trying to get a handout or trying to shake you down the way they ask. You got any spare change? You don't know if they're threatening you or begging. But one of them, I said, are you blind? He said, am I blind, man? No, I ain't blind. I said, well, are you deaf? No, I can hear you. Are you crippled? No. You got a bad disease or something? No, man, what you getting at? I said, well, then there's no reason you can't work, is there? You're able to work. Oh, man, I just can't find work. I said, listen, I know guys that are physically crippled, they're blind or they're deaf, they got some disease, and they want to work. And here you're out here able to work, and you're just goofing off, begging off of other people. And I said, I'm not going to give you one single dime. Get out of my sight. And if you want to say amen to that, go right ahead. But there are too many people like that. The contrast here is the person that he refuses to work. And this desire is eating him up like that. But notice the contrast. Verse 26, the righteous gives and does not spare. The righteous is generous, not to the lazy, but to the people that are unable to work. Because there are legitimate needs out there, and we should be very generous with them and open our wallets to help people out like that. But not for the people that are just too plain lazy. The lazy person sponges off of those that do the work, and they want to loaf and be a parasite on societies, and they pretend to have need when it's only greed. It says here, the desire of the lazy man kills him. He covets, but he doesn't do anything to earn it. There's a little saying that's beginning to make the rounds as the presidential campaign heats up. You may have heard this Texan named Phil Graham say it's about time that some of these good-for-nothings get off of the wagon and get out here and start pulling like the rest of us. And I like that. And I think he's talking about some of the welfare cheats and so forth. Well, that's the contrast here. Those that are doing nothing, but then they're the people that are working extra hard to give to those in need. Ephesians 4:26 says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather work with his hands so that he may have something to give to those in need. In other words, we work not because we're covetous or greedy, but so that we can support our families, support the church, support missions, and support those that are in need, but not those in greed. We should not support the lazy and the indolent. The Bible does teach that we have the solemn responsibility to support those that cannot work because of a handicap. But the Bible is equally strong in forbidding us to support those that are too lazy to work. Have you ever noticed that? There's a verse on this that I used to quote to my father, and he says, "Son, where is that in the Bible?" I said, 2 Thessalonians, "If any man will not work, let him not eat." In other words, you don't support the lazy man. Because you do that, that's like giving scraps to the cat at your back door. It's always going to keep coming back like that rather than fending for herself. And so if a person will not work, not cannot work, person will not work, you should give them absolutely nothing. As I said, I get impatient with that lazy man that lives off the earnings of those that do. And as a result, there those that really want to work but can't often have to do without because there may not be enough to go around for them. And that's an abuse of the welfare system. And I can throw in my 2 cents, or as they say in Scotland, my tuppence halfpenny. I think that the welfare system ought to be completely overhauled or scrapped because it is by far abused with people that are able to work but simply do not want to work. And I think that a lot of the social workers and liberals that work along with the system are either extremely naive or they know that the system whereby you can buy votes for the liberals. But it's a wrong system of giving to those that are able to work but do not want to work. And you live in some neighborhoods like I have, you'll find out what the name of the game is. People that simply don't want to work. And they know all about how to get certain easy things here, certain easy government programs there. And funny thing, they work as hard finding out that information as if they could go out and find a job, but they're too lazy. They're clever, as I said, about finding some things out, but if they were half as clever and put that to work in the proper way, they would be working. There's no proverb that says the Bible promises no loaves to the loafer. Spurgeon said every man ought to have patience and pity for poverty, but for laziness, I like this, a long whip. And I agree with them. I'd take a horse whip to some of the lazy people that are hurting society and hurting themselves and other people. I would also say this to that lazy person. It's a parasite off of other people. Don't you feel guilty to be like that? Don't you feel guilty kind of cheating off of other people, getting a free ride at the expense of other people's labor? What about those that want to work but can't? And your laziness mocks them, so we should have no patience for them. The Bible doesn't. It's evil. Now, let's apply that to us here tonight. I don't think any of us here tonight are welfare cheats. All welfare cheats, please raise your right hand. Put that hand down, Don Bowden. Okay. I don't think all of us here would agree that welfare cheats and people that skive off and get the free load, free ride off of our backs, that's wrong. But what about you? Are you a diligent worker at your place of employment? Or are you just a little bit lazy where you work? Christians should be better and harder workers than non-Christians. And we should be an example to them. You ruin your witness if you are a lazy worker. And they say, oh, you call yourself a Christian. You're always hanging around the water cooler and the coffee pot. An employer was once asked, how many employees work for you? And he said, oh, about half of them. Well, no Christian should be in the wrong half. Next verse, Proverbs 22, verse 13. The lazy man says, there is a lion outside. I shall be slain in the streets. What does this tell us about the lazy man? Loafers or liars? The lazy man lies down, and he also lies up and down. He tells lies all the time, pardon the pun. But he says, well, I've got an excuse why I can't go out and work. There's a lion roaming around in the street. Well, that's a dirty lie, and he knows it, but it's a cheap excuse. And so there are people that are known for laziness, and they have cheap excuses. Oh, well, I can't do that. Oh, well, I've got a bad back. And they don't have a bad back. Or they say, well, I can't find work. Of course they haven't found it, because they're not looking for work. And so, but it's ways of lying. And so they come up with cheap excuses. There's a lion out in the streets. Now, that's a silly excuse. There were lions in Israel back then. David slew one. But it wasn't exactly roaming up and down the streets. So it's what Solomon is saying is kind of by way of hyperbole, that saying, well, this is a silly excuse. And so he's lying. And he says, well, if I go out and work, you know, I'll be killed by that lion out there. Well, you know people like that. They will also come up with so excuses so silly, you see through them immediately. And you don't see the excuse anymore. You see laziness and lying. So they're exceptionally adept at inventing excuses for not working, and usually silly. And that they also have a way of delaying it. This man will say, well, there's a lion. Maybe he'll be gone tomorrow. I'll go out and work tomorrow. I'll find work then. They have an expression down in Texas that's borrowed from south of the border when you ask someone to do something. Oh, yes, I'll do it. Mañana. Now, you know what that means in Spanish? It means tomorrow. Well, tomorrow never comes. But that's the Spanish lingo, by the way, for saying, I don't want to do it. I'll do it tomorrow. Yes, okay, mañana. But mañana never comes. So the first accusation of laziness, by the way, in the Bible, you may wonder, what are the first examples of laziness and who's the first person to be accused of it? First I could find was Exodus 5, 8 and 17. Don't have to turn there. But it was a false accusation. You remember God sent Moses to say, let my people go that they may serve me. And Moses said that to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, uh-uh, you're not going. You just want to be lazy. That's the accusation. It says, you don't want to work anymore for me. You want to go out there and just have a little vacation out in the desert. Nothing doing. So you see, it was a false accusation. However, that could be true of some people. What do I mean? Some Christians use their religion as an excuse not to work. It's like they keep a 7-day Sabbath in the wrong way. They rest even when they should be working. Some people, it's kind of like in the Gospels when Jesus upbraided the Pharisees. He says, well, you know, you have the obligation to support your parents, but you're taking money that should support your parents, and you say, korban, meaning I give it to God. And he says, you dirty thieves, you're supposed to be keeping God's commandment, but you came up with a religious excuse to get out of doing what you should do. Some Christians come up with religious excuses to keep them from doing what they should do. True Christianity is not an excuse for laziness. It should be an incentive to good, honest, hard work in what God has given us to do. You remember God put Adam and Eve in the garden and told them to work. And it's been the cultural mandate ever since then. Till the soil, take care of the world. And even if you are retired, gentlemen, there is still plenty of work to be done. Adam didn't retire from being a gardener, nor Jesus from being a carpenter. So even when you retire from your occupation, there's still some things to be done. I've known men that retire and then they end up doing more in their retirement than they did in their occupation. And so there's a good example there. A couple of more scriptures. Turn to Proverbs 24. Toward the end of the chapter. Verses 30 to the end. I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. Some of this is repeated from earlier, but the text here is saying that the lazy man's field, his house, is going to be overgrown with weeds and thorns. It's like that opportunity. He had it. He didn't take advantage of it, and so it's wasted and it collects dust and barnacles on the side of his ship. And this is saying that the lazy man tends to be unkempt. It tends to be just wasting away because he is lazy. One more verse in Proverbs, chapter 26. 26 verses 15 and 16. Actually, verses 13 to 16. You'll notice some of this is repeated from earlier. Proverbs has a way of bringing it back up again. Lazy man says, there's a lion in the road, a fierce lion's on the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so does a lazy man on his bed. He just rolls over and goes back to sleep. And he rolls back over this way like a door going back and forth. Verse 15, lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. That's another one we've repeated. Verse 16, the lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. Here's another bizarre characteristic of Mr. Lazy Bones. He's clever, but not truly wise. He's wise in his own eyes, but not truly wise. He thinks he's so smart. In fact, the people that cheat off of welfare and stuff like that, they think, oh, man, we know what the action is. We know that we're street smart. We know the tricks of the trade. We know how to get something for nothing. They think they're really clever like that. But, and by the way, it's not just out of the government, but some people like that mooching off their family or off of the church and other things. You know people like this, and they're really clever at that. But they think they're clever because they know how to shift the load off onto other people whom they despise. The lazy man despises the man that works hard. He says, oh, I'm clever. That idiot over there, he has to do all the work. He's not clever like I am. He's not sharp like me. So he's clever in his own eyes, and he despises the other people and considers them fools. But he ends up wasting away his time. In one of his novels, H.G. Wells has this line, we were too lazy. We were too negligent. We passed our indolent days leaving everything to somebody else. That's laziness, and it brings down ruin upon your house. Let me show you one more verse in the New Testament this time, and then we'll have some more investigation of the subject of laziness. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 5. Laziness was not confined just to the Old Testament and its days, but to the New Testament and to our days as well. 1 Timothy 5, verses 13, it says, "Besides, they learn to be idle," meaning lazy, "wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not to." Now, it's talking about certain widows here, but it applies to other people as well. The lazy people here become busybodies. They're not simply busy doing nothing. What they're doing is not productive. They're wasting time and wasting other people's time. The text says here they're lazy, but they wander about from house to house, and they're gossips and busybodies. Their business is the wrong thing, butting into other people's business. The person is not only too lazy to work, but he's not too lazy to poke his nose into other people's business. Has that ever happened to you? You're at work, you're busy, you're at home maybe raking the leaves, and here comes Mr. Lazybones. The guy's known for laziness. He says, "Oh no, here comes old whatever his name is, old Joe or something like that. Here he comes again." And he watches you rake the leaves, but he doesn't offer to help out. But he pokes his nose in your business, and he'll talk like this, and he'll wander on down the street and do that to someone else like that. House to house, busybodies and gossips, always wanting to talk, never wanting to work. And we say, "Hey, you know, why don't we talk while we work?" "Oh, well, I just remembered I got to go somewhere." But they're busybodies like that. Maybe you know the sort like that. By the way, this sort of lazy scoundrel just doesn't hang around pool halls either. They often hang around churches, family gatherings, and elsewhere. They go house to house, mooching off of other people and getting in the way. And they know just how to leech off other people that do work like this. They go from house to house and collect free meals, just knowing when to show up in time for the meal. They know you happen to eat at a certain time. They just happen to show up and looking hungry. So they say, "Okay, come on, Joe, come on down, sit at the table. Oh, I'm glad you asked." So they're busy buying, they know how to get their free meals. By the way, the text also says that these gold bricks tend to be gossips. It says not only idle, but gossips and busybodies. That they pass on information that's only maybe half true, and they lead suspicion about people and slander. But these gold bricks need to be shown the door and say, if you can't back up what you say, don't say it. And if you're not willing to work, then get out of here. Show them the door. Well, those are some of the major verses on the Bible. Let's see if we can draw some principles out of this. Our title tonight is The Causes and Cure of Laziness. What's the cause of laziness? Well, when we look at these verses and some other things in Scripture, we see two or three causes. Number one would be an habitual and inordinate love of ease and comfort. Like the man who just wants to lay around in bed, doesn't want to bring up the food, he just loves his comfort. That's one of the most obvious and highly prized possessions of Mr. Lazybones. And it springs from his ability to shun work. His ability to shun work springs from this, his inordinate love of ease and comfort. But he's clever about it. You see, this person kind of weighs the pros and cons. What's the ease and comfort if I work or if I don't work? Let me weigh that with working. And he says, "No, ain't worth it. I'll just roll over in bed. Not worth it." And so he works as little as possible just to get by because of his inordinate sense of comfort. Number two, a low sense of duty. He has no idea what the word duty means. Remember, we preached on that a few months ago, the idea you should work. Even if you're wealthy, you work. Even if you're retired, there's still work to be done. There's always work for somebody, somewhere to be done. But that's duty. Lazybones has no sense of duty. Laziness is the exact opposite of duty. And so this sluggish man almost never does anything simply because he knows it's the right thing to do and it's got to be done. No, he still measures his own comfort, and comfort outweighs duty. So he goes with one and not the other. Thirdly, a selfish outlook on life. Everything gets back to himself. This lazy man, he turns off his conscience and he whispers to himself things like, "The world owes you a living. You know, they owe you something." And boy, there's something my daddy used to teach me growing up. He said, "Son, the world does not owe you a living. And if you think that, you're going to come to poverty and you'll never earn a day's wage. You got to earn it for yourself. The world doesn't owe it to you. You owe it to yourself and to your family. You owe it to society to go and work and not cheat off of society. My late father was absolutely right there. But lazy man, somehow thinks other people owe me a living, and they come up with easy excuses. When, for example, if you, I don't know how many panhandlers there are here in Springfield. Gary, did you come across any here and there?
About two.
Well, I'm glad I'm in Springfield. Boy, in Dallas, where I used to live, they're always hanging around certain places, and they come up with excuses. But you turn some of them down, just wait and see their attitude. They say, well, you can talk like that. Look at the car you drive. And they come out, you know, like that. It's like you owe this to me. And, you know, they won't take no for an answer sometime. And they say, well, you've got the money. I say, yeah, I got the money. I'm not going to give it to you. Well, you owe it to me. How come I owe it to you? Well, because, you know, you've got the good job and I don't. And, you know, you've been lucky. That means I owe it to you? No, the lazy man is like that. Feels, well, somebody owes it to you because he is selfish. So he has no qualms about shifting the workload onto other people because he considers them sort of his servants. They've cheated him somehow. Fourthly, disobedience to God's command. As I said, God commanded Adam to work in the Garden of Eden, and that continued after the fall. And God commands all of us to work, even if you're already wealthy. You know, I knew a lady in Dallas, and I asked her, what do you do for a living? She says, well, you mean what do I do to earn money or what do I do with my time? And I said, well, I guess both. Well, what do you do? She says, well, my parents had a lot of money and they left it to me, but I don't just waste it. I spend time doing charitable work and working with this and working with that 40, 50 hours a week. And I said, that's a good example. Here she didn't have to work to earn money, but she worked nevertheless. But the lazy man doesn't see it like that. So we should work. God commands it. So what is the root cause of all laziness? Sin. Disobedience to God because God commands us all to work. By the way, parents are to teach their children to work and give them the good example about it. And the same thing with employers. We should be good example to those underneath us. We should all be good examples like this and not bad examples. Now, you might say, well, wait a second. We've got to rest sometime. You know, there's a Sabbath. We're supposed to sleep at night. And you've got to be working 24 hours a day. You've got to have some rest. That's right. There is a difference, though, between leisure and laziness. The lazy man doesn't know it, but the true industrious man does. What's the difference? Leisure is rest from work. And it's part of the reward of work. In fact, you can find it several times in the Bible, Ecclesiastes and Proverbs, that the sleep of the industrious man is sweet. And y'all all know what it's like. You know, you'll work all day long and you're bone tired at the end of the day. Man, when you hit the sack, it's good sleep, you know, because you've worked hard, you've earned that good night's sleep. There's nothing wrong with that. The Bible commends that. But the lazy man never can truly enjoy leisure because true leisure is rest from work. And so he doesn't work, he doesn't have true leisure. Laziness is just plain unhealthy. True leisure is a healthy rest, so you can prepare to work more. I remember a few years ago when aerobic jogging became very popular with the yuppies, I saw a cartoon in the paper, and it showed this young man, boy, he had all the Nautilus equipment, and he had all this stuff, and he had his little baby blue jogging shorts, and he had all this stuff, and he's doing all this aerobic stuff, and he meets another man that's twice his age, that's got big muscles and strong, healthy bones, and he says, say, man, what do you use? You use Nautilus? What's your secret? The older man just says, I work. And I like that. I wish some of our yuppies would use some of that energy to work. And when I see them jogging, I say, well, don't they work enough that they have to go and jog at the end of the day? Well, maybe they ride a pencil all day, and maybe they do have to exercise. I'm not getting down on exercise, but sometimes just old-fashioned hard work would be more productive. As I said, the lazy man cannot truly rest, for he has nothing to rest from. And so he can't really sleep properly. The sleep of the laborer is sweet, says Proverbs, but the sleep of the slothful man is useless. The lazy bones man needs to learn that there is a time to rest, but not all the time, just some of the times. A Frenchman defined laziness as the habit of resting before fatigue sets in. So they shouldn't be resting yet. And one of the Puritans, William Googe, said, even in leisure, laziness is to be shunned. I like that. There's a difference. Even when you're resting, don't get lazy. Don't let laziness set in. Well, we've thrown bricks at the gold bricks tonight, but let's go a little deeper. Benjamin Franklin said, there are lazy minds as well as lazy bodies. Some people are the very opposite of lazy when it comes to the body, but not in the mind. They work hard with their body, but their minds are very lazy. They don't read anything stimulating. They don't watch anything educational on television. They don't have educational or stimulating conversations. It's always on the cheap and mundane and low things. It doesn't take any effort. We yell at the student that shirks his studies, but sometimes parents need to examine themselves on that. Many adults have lazy minds. They never read anything more than the comic strip in the newspaper, and they don't have challenging discussions. They have lazy brains, and not just lazy bodies. But there's another kind. You see, we've talked about, you sock it to those lazy guys on welfare. Yeah, and about the people that are too lazy in mind. But now the preacher comes to meddling. There's another kind of laziness. You see, we haven't just come here to talk about welfare and about lazy people out there. As best as I know everybody here, we're fairly industrious. We work. But how are you when it comes to spiritual laziness? Examine yourselves on this. Some Christians are physically fit, mentally alert, but suffer from prolonged spiritual laziness. And if they were physically as lazy as they are spiritually lazy, they would be shunned and recognized as such. You see, you can be disgusted with welfare cheats that panhandle and get a free ride in the wagon while other people are pulling. Wait a second, where are you in the spiritual wagon? Are other people having to pull your load for you? Or are you out there pulling the load for them? It's like every Christian is in one of two categories. One that's either getting a free ride at the expense of other Christians, or he's one out there bearing the burden of other Christians. Goof-offs don't work and they sponge off other people, but tell me, do you work at studying the Bible for yourself? Or do you leave it all to the preacher to work all day long to study in his study and to bring it to you on a silver platter, and you say, feed me, feed me, feed me, because I'm too lazy to do it for myself. I'm too lazy to read my Bible. And you know, I've said before that if you only read 3 chapters a day of the Bible, you could read it through in a whole year. But there are many Christians too lazy to even read 1 chapter a day, 1 paragraph a day. They've never read all the way through the Bible. Why? Too lazy. And like Mr. Lazybones we've seen earlier, they have excuses. Well, the kids got to get up and go off to school. I got to go to work, mister. I'm just too busy. Excuses, excuses, excuses. And it's like that proverb says, they're too lazy to bring up to their own mouths. They have a Bible right at home. Too lazy to even read it. So they said, well, we leave it to the preacher. Isn't that what we pray preachers for? That's a cheap excuse. You don't let them do all your praying for you or Bible study? I hope not. If you do, then that is spiritual laziness. So examine yourselves, brothers and sisters. You may have gotten more than you expected when you came tonight to hear a message on laziness. Examine different areas of your spiritual life to see how industrious or lazy you are. Let me give you 3 areas to examine yourselves. Number 1, spiritual gifts. According to 1 Corinthians 12, every Christian has been given a spiritual gift. For what purpose? To serve God's people, by and large. 1 or 2 of them are mainly for serving non-Christians, but most of them are for serving Christians, preaching, teaching, helps, and so forth. And when you regularly use your spiritual gift, you've developed your ministry. Are you using your spiritual gift, whatever the gift is, that God has given you, are you using it regularly to serve Him and to serve His people? Or are you goofing off with your spiritual gift and collecting rust? 2 Timothy 1:6, old Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift of God that is in you. In other words, the word there is stir it up so that the scum doesn't rise and form a crust on top. Stir it up so that it doesn't all settle down like that. What about your spiritual gift? What about your spiritual life? Are you serving God? Matthew 25 tells the parable of the talents, and we looked at that a few weeks ago. And the master rebukes one of them in verse 26 and says, you wicked, lazy slave, you're not using the thing I gave you to work with. So find out what your spiritual gift is, brethren. Shake the dust off of it and hone it down to spiritual sharpness so you can use it like a straight razor. But maybe it needs a little stropping because it's grown a little dull because of spiritual laziness. Find out where it is and use it regularly unto the Lord. Secondly, spiritual duties. I've mentioned Bible reading, prayer, church attendance, evangelism, charity for those in need, and so forth. Now, let me dig beneath the surface in some of these areas of spiritual laziness. One of the causes of spiritual laziness is antinomianism. You know, we're saved by grace, not by works, but we're saved unto good works, according to Ephesians 2. But some people forget that, and they say, well, saved by grace, not by works. And so they never end up working. What's the cure for laziness? Work. But some people, because for them, work is a four-letter word. Well, we're not saved by works. And you know, often the word work has gotten bad press in evangelical circles. We're not saved by works. but we're saved in order to work. And good works takes work. And so spiritual laziness and antinomianism never produces good works, never has, and never will. And so examine yourself to see if you're misusing God's grace as an excuse not to work in spiritual areas. Third area to examine yourself for spiritual laziness, spiritual devotion, such as faith, love to God, love for other people, worship, communion with the Savior. When you examine yourself in this area, do you find yourself fervent, burning like a roaring furnace, or do you find that the embers are growing very, very cool? That is a good measure of spiritual laziness or industriousness. How do you fare in this area? The most important one of all, spiritual devotion. Are you active? Are you passive? Or are you just plain dead? Examine yourselves. Well, there are the characteristics and the causes of laziness. Let's also look finally at the cure for laziness. Number one, realize the problem. In whatever area this is applied to you, examine it, recognize it, admit it for what it is. Don't make up excuses. That's part of the problem. The lazy man says, well, there's a lion out there. No, you've got no excuses. You've got no excuses for doing what God has told you to do. Recognize it. Secondly, confess it to God and forsake it. Thirdly, ask God for a spirit of activity and energy, because it's God that has to stir us up and keep us going. Say, Lord, give me the opportunities to serve you in whatever way you want me to, and give me the energy to do it, the wherewithal, the spiritual energy, especially in the spiritual realm. Fourthly, strive to do the best you can in all you do. Scripture says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. I remember there's a person I knew at Bible college, and he said, Kurt, such and such reminds me of Hezekiah. And I said, how come Hezekiah? He says, because it says about Hezekiah, whatever he found to do, he did unto the Lord with all his might. I said, that's a good verse. It's a good verse. Whatever God has given you to do, the things he's given to all Christians, and that which he has given to you in particular, do it with all your might unto the Lord. Now, earlier I gave you a list of synonyms for lazy. Now listen to some of the antonyms, the exact opposite of lazy. Active, alert, brisk, busy, diligent, energetic, industrious, lively, vigorous, ambitious, wanting to work. Good terms. Romans 12:11 says, not lagging behind in diligence, but fervent in spirit. A good text. Fifthly, learn from your mistakes. Okay, you examine yourself and you say, you know, I think he hit a target today. I think he touched on some area or another that I'm a little lazy in this. Realize it and go to work in that area. Learn from your mistakes and don't repeat it. And sometimes we have to learn the hard way. Sometimes the best cure for laziness is, like you might say, yeah, like, Kurt, what do you do for those guys panhandling? Give them a quick kick in the seat of their pants. Sometimes that's what we need. So what do I say as your preacher? Get up and do something for God. Stop being lazy in whatever area God has said, that's too lazy there. You have improvement, God says, then do something about it. And listen to what God says. Get off your seat and do something for God. Lastly, imitate the good examples in Scripture. Old King Solomon said, go to the ant. Imitate the ants. Gary would say, imitate the uncles, too, if they work hard, too. Imitate other people. Imitate John Calvin. We talk highly about him. Did you know Calvin wrote more in a year, for over 30 years, than we read in a year? He wrote over 1,000 pages of high, deep theology in a year. Most of us probably don't read 1,000 pages of anything in a year, but Calvin did. Read the great stories of Robert Murray McChain or David Brainerd, who died in their 20s, and they burnt themselves out for God and accomplished more in their young lives than most people do in lives that are two or three times as long. So look at the good examples in Scripture and the lives that you know around you, but best of all, who's the best example in anything good and godly? The Lord Jesus Christ. He was not lazy. He was industrious. Remember what he said earlier? I must be about my Father's business. He was never lazy. He was raised as a carpenter and the son of a carpenter. And he worked hard all his life. And even in his ministry, someone could have said, oh, well, you're lazy. You just travel around as a preacher. Preachers, it takes works to be a preacher, too, by the way. But Jesus said, I must work the works which my Father gave me. So he was industrious, never lazy. We follow his example. We imitate him and ask him to give us the spiritual life and the get up and go we need to do that which he has told us to do. And if you do that, you'll never suffer laziness. That's the cure. The disease, laziness. The cause, sin. The cure, work. And the source of the cure, the Lord Jesus. Christ. End of sermon. May the Lord bless these principles to our lives, that we may be industrious and found working in His kingdom. Let's pray. Lord, show us the areas that we are lazy, so that we don't just point the finger at others, but say to ourselves, Thou art the man, Thou art the woman. Help us, Lord, to overcome the laziness that is due to our own sin without excuse. But Lord, we need Your help. We need Your wisdom. We need to see it. Give us the energy by Your Spirit to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ in all areas, physical, mental, and spiritual. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.